ushers.
Good morning. I am so glad you're here this morning. I woke up this morning excited to praise God and scream Hosanna, and understanding that is a prayer of salvation, that we are seeking our Savior this morning. And every time we get together, my hope and my prayer is that we come with the understanding that we are looking and worshiping our Savior and what that means this morning. There are a couple things as your pastor that I love to do. First and foremost, I love praying with you. I love talking about who Jesus is and how he can change your life, right? That he can bring you into light and out of this darkness in which we live in, and that he can give you a new understanding of how to live. That's one of the best things to do as a pastor. It really is. One of the other things that I get to participate in is baptisms. I love doing baptisms. You know why? Because that is your declaration of saying to everybody here that I believe that he is my Hosanna, that he is my Savior. That is an awesome thing to participate in too, right? And as a church, I hope that you are, when we have those things, that you get excited too. That when we, like, I want us, when we dunk somebody, and hopefully these things will start happening more and more, right? That's the desire of a church, that we come together and we are spreading the news, and the news is changing lives, and we get to see how it's moving, right? And when they come out of that water, what they are saying to you is, I declare that he is my Hosanna. Right? And there shouldn't be a voice in here. There shouldn't be hands in here still. Why? Because that is amazing. They are telling you, we believe. And we want to be a part of your church family. Right? Such a cool thing. Now, the other thing that I love doing too, I love taking in new partners. All right? And what's a partner? Somebody that has decided that they want to be a part of the mission and vision of what we're doing here in Springfield First. And what our mission and vision is, we want to connect people to Jesus Christ. We want them to connect here and know that they are loved and they belong here with us, right? And it's only because of Jesus that they connect here with us, right? We want to grow. We want to grow, not numerically necessarily with numbers. We want to grow in a deeper relationship with God. And we want to help each other grow in this relationship. Why we have small groups, why we have Sunday schools, why we have Bible studies, why we have Wednesday nights that are coming up in April. It's not just stuff to fill time. It is to help us grow in our relationship with God. Right? Nobody should be, I don't care, there is no retirement plan when it comes to a relationship with Jesus. All right? You don't get to stop educating, you don't get to stop growing, you don't get to stop those things, because Jesus, God, wants you to grow every day because it fulfills you. It feeds you. Your soul needs food. All right? Our third one is serve. We want to serve God. And by that, he says, to the least of these you have done to me. And what he's saying there is, if you love me, you will serve your community. You will serve each other. You will serve God in all those things. We want a church, right? We want a church that is serving. We want to make sure if, I've said this before, we want to make sure if we were to leave this community, if we picked up and left this community, they would hurt because they would recognize the value that we added to this community by how much we served and loved them the way Christ loves us. That's important. That is so important. We need to be practicing these three things. And as a church, we want Springfield First to resemble those things. And when people decide just to be our partner, I want you to know, we are not here to be a country club. We're not here to just service ourselves and protect us from this world. No, we equip each other to face this world the way God has designed us, right? And there's a war out there, but our weapons are not with our fists. Our weapons are not with weapons that this world sees. We don't cut people down. We don't tear them down. We don't do those things as part of our war. What do? We pray for them out of a love that Jesus has put in us. And guess what we are fighting them with? With light. We fight them with the light that God has put in us. And that light shows where the darkness lies to clean it out. And that's what we are called to do, right? I say all these things because guess what? We get to take in two new partners, right? And I'm going to bring them up. McCrady's, come on up. They kind of found out this morning that we're doing this. They decided a while ago, and I waited until today. It's just who I am, right? But I want you to know that the McCrady's are an awesome family. I've known them for a while. They're really cool. If you haven't got the chance to meet them, please do. And I'm going to ask you guys a really quick question. As becoming one of our partners, are you willing to connect, grow, and serve within our community? Awesome. All right. Jenna McCrady and Ryan McCrady, great. Welcome to being our partners.
Thank you.
Awesome. Love you guys. Yeah. Love you guys. I love it. Church is not something that we come. I have to be careful because I want to look nice on Sunday, but we don't come for what other people look like, right? We come for the idea that Jesus has saved us. And we want to worship him. Okay? And so when we sing songs, when we pray prayers, our biggest thing is you're not here to critique. You are here to gain a moment with Jesus and let him know how much he has made a difference in your life. All right? This morning, my prayer is that we scream, our souls, our hearts, our lives scream Hosanna. In a way that is not the way of John 12. All right? This morning, maybe, if this works, we'll see. The title is Save Us. All right? And if you know Hosanna, it's this short prayer. When you scream Hosanna, when you yell Hosanna, it is a short prayer that says, Save Us. That's what they're saying, is Save Us. All right? Now, I want to read really quick. John 3:17 through 18, all right? For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe him stands condemned already because they have not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. So, what did Jesus come to do? To save us. Did he come to condemn us? Absolutely not. You know what condemns us? Our choice, right? Our choice is what decides what happens there, okay? I want you to understand that. Now, I want to give us the context in which we will be talking from this morning. We will be talking from John 12 through 16, all right? And I'll go ahead and read this. The next day, the crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took the palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel. Jesus found a donkey and sat on it, as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, the disciples did not understand all that was happening. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize these things had been written about him and that these things had to be done to him. All right, let me tell you what's going on here. All right, he is going into Jerusalem. He understands that he is heading to a time that is going to take his life. So he gets on a donkey, which is prophesized, all right, pretty cool. He understands scripture, and so he is announcing himself as their savior, all right? They go get palms to lay down, so as the donkey is coming, they're laying down these palms. And from my understanding and studies, what is that resembling is that peace comes with this savior. Right? And what the donkey symbolizes is a cool thing too. It symbolizes humility. All right? And this Savior comes humbly. Now, you don't see saviors, you don't see kings, you don't see rulers riding a donkey. Right? It'd be kind of weird. Can you imagine our president riding on a donkey? Okay, maybe. All right? It doesn't matter. Any political person. You don't see them like in today's rulers and kings, you don't see them necessarily wanting to humble themselves in a way that they realize they're no better than anybody else. Jesus, who is obviously better than anybody else, has never sinned, comes and shows that he is one of them. And they are crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us. Right? Now, have you ever had a conversation with anybody? And again, I said this last week, I'm going to say it this week too. If this is pertaining to the person next to you, don't look at them. All right? Don't nudge them. Don't do any of that. All right? And I want you to know my wife is not here, not because of what I said last week. All right? I promise. We are good. We have a loving relationship. I don't even, like, she's awesome. All right? And she'd probably get mad that I'm saying that right now. But she's awesome. I love it. She's out in Bloomington with Natalie having a good time. All right? And if you want to know, I can tell you later. But they're skipping church this morning, so pray for them. All right? Oh, sweet. Oh, no. Love you. Anyway. Have you ever had a conversation with somebody that you felt like you were just talking a foreign language? That they were not understanding the conversation that we were having? They were on a different level than you, or you were on a different level, and you just were trying to relay this message, and they would relay it back, and you're like, where is this going wrong? What is happening here? Why aren't we on the same page? Anybody? ZA parents. All right. Right? And how frustrating. I know for me, I have lost my cool in those moments. Anybody else? Right? Those are the moments that you're like, Lord, pray for my patience. And he goes, okay, I'll make it so they don't understand you more. Oh. Right? Like, those are those things, they're not there. And I look at this scene, and what we have here is a misunderstanding, a miscommunication of how the Savior was going to come and change their nation. When they were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us. They meant from their political system. They meant from being on the low end of the social scheme to being raised up and ruling over people. And when they laid down the palms for peace, peace, even in this time, comes at a price. So they thought Jesus was going to come and switch everything up within their social class and bring them out of being at the low end of everything and make their enemies bow down by force. Because that would be peace. Right? Now, that is not what happened. And I want you to know, like, they understand, like, if you read further on to this scripture, some of the reasons there was such a huge crowd there. They saw what Jesus had been doing, some of the miracles. He just raised Lazarus from the dead. He was dead. And he said, come. And he came, and he's alive. That would make a lot of people go, okay, I need to know more about this guy. He can do things that is unbelievable. He can say things and they happen. He can calm the storms and it happens. He has fed 5,000. He's fed 10,000. He's fed tons of people. He's made the blind see. Like, we've got to come. He's going to save us. He just has to say it. Right? And all these people were excited that they were going to have power. All right? And I will tell you right now, like, if you're hungry for power, if you're hungry for control, if you're hungry for all the decisions making, if you're hungry for those things, God will humble you. All right? He comes in on a donkey. And he's a humble leader. He's a humble savior. And it's amazing. All right? And this is his story. This is his plan, his idea. This is what is going on of when it comes to salvation, when it comes to understanding who Jesus Christ is with us. Salvation comes. And it is not something that is just a one-day thing. Like, I know for me, every camp I got saved at. Anybody else? No? Man, I'm a weird one. All right. How about revivals? Did you get saved at revivals all the time? Again, just me. Okay. So there's some lying going on. All right. I will tell you, there are many times I felt convicted. I was down back at the altar, and I was allowing God to save me. And what I have learned in my studies and understanding what salvation is, it is not a moment. It is a life term. Salvation doesn't just happen once. It happens and continues to go. I must grow. And part of growth is allowing that light to shine on the darkness of my heart and my life so I confront what separates me from Jesus. You understand that? That's salvation. It never stops. That's how much Jesus loves you. He's continually coming to you so that you can be saved. That's how much he loves you. It's not a nagging parent. It's not a nagging person that's saying that you're wrong. What it is saying, listen, I see where you hurt. I see where you falter. I see the things that bring you down. I can take care of it. Let me have it. It is easy within our walk with Jesus to go, I am fine, save me. Save me from having to talk to that person. Save me from having to have to deal with the medical issues. Save me from having to go to work. Save me from having to go and talk to and deal with people at Walmart. Right? And in the back recesses of everything, we go, hey, forgive me for lying, for cheating, for these things, but it's a one-time deal, I promise. In this story, all these people crying Hosanna, save us, so excited for this person to come. Do you know how long it took them to turn? 5 days. And do you know what they were crying out on that fifth day? Crucify him. Do you know why? Because he didn't give what they wanted. I want you to know, church people, this was followers. These were people that were church people. These were people that were like, would be probably us. And I wouldn't say, I would be sitting out there and be like, no. I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have yelled, crucify him. I might have been in the back of the crowd and be like, he didn't see me, did he? I'll let you right now know that we not are just as blind. Like, we would probably be in that crowd with them, not understanding what was happening in that moment. And I want you to know, it was predestined. Jesus could have backed out. He knew. He had been calling and predicting and letting them know. Not even predicting. He just knew, I'm heading towards my death. You will not understand until later what I am doing here. And what does he say on the cross? He says, please forgive them. They know not what they do. But I'm going to let you know right now, on the flip side of this coin, we know. Right? We know our actions. We know our failures. We know the things in which we carry today that hinders us from our relationship with him is the causation of crying out, crucify him. The moment that we decide to live a life that is 5 days from removed from crying, "Save us," is really prevalent to our own walk. There has been probably moments we have gossiped. There has been moments in our life that we have said slander. There are moments in our life that we've been tempted to steal and do things that we regret, hurting other people, talking horrible about other people, judging other people. Like, the list can go on and on and on, right? No one is innocent. Paul says it in Romans. For all have fallen short, right? And have sinned. Like, that's real. No one's perfect in here, am I right? When we cry Savior, it is not saving us. This is where we need to learn. It is not saving us from the predicament of life that we find ourselves. It's not saving us from a political system. It's not saving us from a job system. It's not saving us from those things. You know what it's saving us from? Our souls going into hell. It's saving us from our own decisions, our own hearts. It's bringing the light upon us in those moments and reflecting on the things that we have done that has attributed to Jesus Christ being crucified on the cross. Save us. I tend to wonder how many times we have had a miscommunication with God, where we are hearing one thing and he goes, "Okay, listen, you need to be perfect. Okay, I will live by this, the 10 rules. Let's just do the 10 rules right now," right? Last week we talked about the 600 and what? I know you said it. How many? 612, 615. I know we had a disagreement. Let's go for it, right? Anyway, right? All those rules. I'm not even saying we live by 615 rules. That'd be, whew, that's a long list to put on the refrigerator. Whew, right? Let's just do 10. Can we live by that? In this moment of figuring out salvation and going, okay, these 10 things, this is what I'll do. I'll put God first about everything else. And you wake up and you're like, no, not today. It's easy to do, right? It's easy to forget about your Savior. It's easy to forget about God when you wake up. You got 20 other things to do. You got bills to pay. You got jobs to complete. You got to make sure your teenagers are up and getting to school. You got all, and you want them to do good in school so they move out. Right? And you got 24 hours, less than that, because you got to sleep, hopefully. Right? 9 hours apparently is wrong. I've heard that. You're not supposed to sleep 9 hours. That's too much. Right? And then you got to eat. You put some time into that. Like, you just, your time starts to get to so involved, and as you lay your head down, you're like, man, where was God today? How did I involve God in this? What choices did I make that pushed me further away instead of accepting him? What thoughts did I have today that definitely were not godly thoughts? And God's not sitting there going, well, you know, here's the checklist. You know what God's sitting there is? I look at him as a patient father waiting for us through the day, go, I am here. I am peace. I am humility. I will love you. And when you accept my love, it will change you in these moments that are devastating towards your peace. In these moments that cause pain, in these moments that you're frustrated, in these moments that you're angry, you will find peace in me. Because I will show you these things have no rule or reign over you. I show you that there is freedom with me that is beyond this world, because we are no longer bound to this world. We are free from it. And do you know, I think the message that our Savior is sending us on a daily basis is to remind us it is not our war, it is his. let them have it. The things that hold you down, the things that you have made decisions, the things in which have corrupted your lives, guess who wants to take those? Our Savior does. No other ruler or king that have I have seen say, I will take your sin upon me and I will deal with it. Jesus comes in and says, listen, the negative, the horrible stuff, I am your lamb. I will sacrifice for it so you know there is a life better beyond this. And even though you fall short, I will lift you up. You see, the Savior that he is being is the one that is consistent and always there. The one that is always willing to lift you up in the times that you need to be lifted up, and even in the times that you don't recognize that you need to be lifted up. He's a Savior that will take on the pain that you give. How many relationships do you know can survive being lied to, cheated on, stolen from, talked bad about, treated horribly, ignored? How many do they survive? Not that many, right? You know, when I do premarital counseling, communications is key, right? It's key, right, husbands and wives? Like, talking is a very big, important thing. Listening is a very important thing, I've learned. All right? Do you know in the relationship with God, the same thing is true, but it's key for one side of this. You see, he's not banking on us, but we are banking on him. And the more we ignore, the more that we push away, the more we cry out, Hosanna, and not understand the message that he's saying to us, is very key. Let me explain. Let me give some thoughts about this, right? How many do you want your neighbors to know who Jesus Christ is? Right? Man, awesome. That's great. How many of your coworkers do you want to know that Jesus Christ died for them? Do you want them to know that? Some of them? All right. Not as many hands. All right. Man, God's working this morning. Let's see it. Right? Here we go. How about a mechanic? You're a mechanic. Do they need to know who Jesus Christ is in your life? Do you want them to? Here's a better. Do you want them to know Jesus Christ in your life? All right. How about your family? Do you want your family to know who Jesus Christ is in your life? Yes, right? You know how this is done? By the communication that you have with God and understanding God's message enough that you can relay it out to the next. You see, I think a lot of times we have gone through a period in our lives that we think we have the message and we just misinterpreted it. I think we want people, and I agree, I don't want them to burn in hell, but the idea to go to them and say, hey, it's turn or burn, crushes bridges. And when Jesus says, I did not come to condemn, but to save, is a different message than the one that we hear sometimes. Imagine serving and loving and connecting with those that we don't really identify with. Imagine going up to them and saying, Hosanna, Hosanna, he saved me. I am no better than anybody else. I am loved and I understand that, and I understand I have a humble Savior has called me to be the same. You see, the two messages are different. One is like, knock them out so we can be the best. That we can fill our seats and people can look like us and we can feel comfortable and it is all good. Right? That's what they wanted. And who did Jesus hang out with? If you look at his ministry, if you saw who he was with, he got criticized with every person he spent time with. Look at his disciples. They were crazy guys. They were the thugs. They were the dropouts. They were the ones that were not accepted by the religious community. And they said, yeah, I'll follow you. A rabbi got to choose at that time, and Jesus was considered a rabbi. And those rabbis, they would have looked at Jesus and like, you had the full say. No, they're not winners. Get them out. And that's what they would do. They would choose the best of the best. Right? Jesus' disciples were not considered the best of the best. And if you listen to them talk, Jesus would say a parable, like, what does that mean? Can you further explain? They weren't the brightest. It's pretty cool. You see, the message is this. We are called to love as Jesus loved. And if you remember, the verse before John 3:17 is what? John 3:16, right? If you know it, it's a famous verse. If you don't, read it, because, man, it's life-altering, is it not? God sent his son, his only begotten son, to do what? To save us. To save us. He sent his son to save us, not to condemn us. Guess what our mission and our desire is with our message? And I want you to know, listen, I said it earlier, right? Does salvation stop the moment I say yes to it? Has it stopped for you? I think this is the question for us today. Has salvation stopped? Have you gotten to a point, I'm good, I have arrived, I'm wonderful, I've got this. I know Jesus is real, and I'm good. I do my 5-minute prayer. I do my 10-minute reading. I do those things. I check out my YouVersion. Click. I am good, right? And I look at those other people, and I go, I am not them. If you're doing checklist, I'm going to tell you right now, that is not who Jesus is. He's not a checklister. He's not the one going, okay, you've satisfied. Now, I will tell you this. He wants us to be in Scripture. He wants us to be in prayer, because what does those things do? It feeds our soul. It changes who we are. He wants us, our souls, to be nourished. He never wanted this to be another thing in which we go, okay, I did these three things, and now I'm holy. That's not what it is. Salvation includes spending time with Jesus on a daily interaction of how to live, how to be, and ask him, hey, will you shine the light on the areas of my life that I keep dark? Not easy, right? When I learned about the light in Jesus, and I sang the song, anybody know the song that I'm talking about? This Little Light of Mine? Yeah, right? I know my little brain, and it's still little, I know. And I would grab that light in my mind and be like, all right, Jesus gave me a light. And what do you do with a light? You play lightsaber with it, right? And I know, like, lumens, right? Anybody know what lumens are? I think that's what it is, right? The amount of lumens, the higher lumens, the brighter it is and burns through people, right? You want the highest lumens so it can shine through the dark and light up the whole sky. It's awesome. My thought as a young kid being saved, that my job with that light was to shine upon everybody else so they can see their world as being wrong. I'm going to tell you right now, as I have grown, when you hold the flashlight, where does the light not shine? Not on yourself, right? It's easier to just point it out. You know how painful it is spiritually when I put it upon myself? And I'm going to highlight all the things, all their imperfections, all the things that I know I deal with on a daily basis. I look in the mirror and I'm like, how could you love me? How could you call me? How could you save me? Right? The message is this. Jesus loves you so much that on the fifth day, he didn't ride on that donkey out and go, forget it. I'm done with them. He heard those words, crucify him. I'm going to tell you right now, it hurt. It hurt. He saw his best friends turn their backs on him, betray him. He had time alone in a garden with God saying, hey, if this is not the will, if this is not the cup, please take it. But if it is, I'll do it. And got told, it is yours. You need it. You need to fulfill this. He sat on that cross. One of the most painful ways. In the middle of a town, being put up on a pedestal of death. Not for everybody else, but for you. That's the light that shines upon you. And he says, Lord, please forgive them. They don't know what they do. I wonder, in our misunderstanding of who Jesus is as our Savior, how many times we've misunderstood it and relayed the wrong message. Jesus is your Savior this morning. You do not earn it. You do not deserve it. He gives it freely. Do you want it? Because it will change your life forever. It will show you the areas that you need. It will be the one that guides you. And you will see this world through His eyes, not yours. You will embrace people that you thought you never would embrace before. You will love people and talk to people about the gospel that you thought, no, I don't have that strength. Because the amount of light that's being shown upon you, everything's burned away. And the fear that you have is not what this world thinks of you, but what God wants of you. You have His strength. You have His power. You have His desire. But I'm going to tell you right now, that light must shine upon you. It is to show you the areas in your life to understand the message that God has for you. And then the glow off of you is not your glow, but it is God's. There's people that need to know that He came to be our Hosanna, our Savior. Are you ready to relay that message this week? Are you ready to live that out? And if so, I'm going to tell you right now, salvation doesn't stop. There's areas in your life, there's areas in my life that God wants to change, that God wants to be the king of, that God wants to clean out because He knows it hinders you with Him. Are you ready for that? As we prepare to go into Easter and understanding that He brings new life and you understand that salvation is part of resurrection, that what was old is now new. If we want to live that out and we want other people to hear this message, man, we better be willing to live it out. We better be willing to allow God to work in our lives, to humble ourselves, and allow the Savior that we are calling out Hosanna to save us, to give us the message that he wants, not what we want. Huge difference. Church, stand with me. As we exit this morning, the word I hope that is changing your mind, I hope that that means even more to you this week, is the Hosanna word, that he is here to save you. And what does that look like this week? How does he need to be moving in your life? How does he need to be your Savior? Where do you need to let him work in you? Not anybody else this morning. Not your neighbor, not your family, not your coworker, not the person at Walmart. This morning, when we cry out Hosanna, how is God saving you? Where are you letting God work? Where are you not letting God work? This week, I'm going to tell you right now, you might cry out Hosanna. My hope and my prayer is that you mean it and that you're ready for the war within you to go, God, let me let it go. The things that I define who I am by, may I humbly say yes to you, and may you change me for all eternity. May I grow closer to you. May you be my Savior today, tomorrow, and the next day. I'm going to ask you to do one thing with me. As we exit this morning, may we cry out Hosanna together with declaration of saying, I want him to change me. I want him to be my Savior. I want him to show the areas of my life that need alone and lost. Are you ready for that? If so, let's cry out Hosanna together just one time with me. One, two, three. Hosanna. Church, you're dismissed.